Hi, and welcome to the Expansive Podcast. Funnily enough, I was thinking this morning when I was driving back home that if you had to grab my phone and look at the photos of my phone, you might start thinking that I have a foot fetish. But actually, it's just John Sane sending me photos of his feet next to pools all the time.
I had no idea where that was going. I was like, what? Did I send you some photos by mistake from my OnlyFans account for men's feet that are sexy?
Only toes account.
I had no idea where you were going with that. I was like, whoa. Stop recording.
That's so funny. Because every day I feel like I'm just getting pool pictures from you. And what are you doing? Correct. Like, are you just perpetually next to a pool?
That is correct. If I can do keynotes from a pool in the future, that is what I'll be aiming at. And by oceans, you know. That's the aim of the game. Right now I'm in Bali next to a pool. I mean, the pool's 1 meter away from me, quite literally.
I had to ask John to put a shirt on for the podcast, for all the listeners to know.
Yes, I obliged.
Although maybe it'll help us get views. Maybe you should take it back off again. I don't know.
as long as you should just be experimenting and trying new things. And now, as long as you know it's not you, because they will drop views, I'll increase views. As long as you know what the ratio is there. Well, what a start to a pod. I thought this was a deep, meaningful podcast. What's going on here? Foot fetishes, shirtless podcast. This is going nowhere quickly. Welcome, everybody. Wonderful to have you on the pod again. And I'm in Bali at the moment, and Eric is in Cape Town. And we are so dedicated to this pod that no matter where we are in the world, we always record a pod. Well, I do. I mean, last time Eric traveled, can't remember him recording.
We definitely did a pod. I remember. Even in Mexico, I remember us sitting in that corner, like the whole setup, and then we actually didn't record because there were internet issues, I think.
Not on my side. What?
Not as far as I remember that.
Whatever.
I was prepped and ready to go, but there was partner issues. I don't remember exact partner issues, but I just
remember. Of course you don't remember. Of course, now you don't remember. Now all of a sudden it's blurry. Yeah, no problem. Well, look, it's great to have you on the pod again, Eric. We're always having a good laugh. We've already been on the call for half an hour, just chit-chatting, talking shit, and excited for this pod. And I thought it would be important for me to take the lead for this pod, because last time you did such a great job explaining what you did, and I loved it, actually. You really explained it so well. But before we start, I wanted to congratulate you. Something big happened this week, Eric.
Yes.
Tell everybody what happened, Eric. Tell everybody.
Well, I mean, it's on both sides, right? I think this might be the only
but it's your first
world.
Time.
It's my first time. But I think this might now be the only podcast in the world where the co-hosts both are part of the top 30 in Global Gurus.
Yes, some of us are top 30, but that's fine. I get it. I'll come into your top 30 just to make you feel good.
It's not a competition, bro.
Come on. But anyway, we'll come into the same group. I remember somebody was like, I came eighth in that race. I was like, okay, how many people are running? Eight. Okay, well done. You came last. It's all about context, right? I came eighth. Okay, amazing. You did so good. How many people are running? Six. Oh, okay. You came second last from the back.
So every year, Global Gurus release a top 30 in different categories. So across leadership, futurism, management, communication. And they just compiled the top 30 thought leaders, according to them. And you've been on that list now for 2 years, right? Like you were there last year, 3 years.
And the year before. I think the one from the year before is the first time you messaged me. And he's like, bro, can you chat? I'm like, why? What's up? He's like, you're on this list. I'm like, what list? Okay, good. I, look, as long as it's not the Epstein list, I'm happy to be on any list. Yeah. Okay. Like, John, I see you on the Epstein list. Oh, shit. It's all coming down.
That was good. So this year, so you messaged me to say that you've made it onto the list again and that you are in the number 4 spot. And I was actually like, I was so disappointed because like I thought I would have received an email. Like I was,
it came today, eh?
I was hoping I'd make it onto it this year, onto the list. And I thought maybe I'd, Yeah, so when you send me your thing, I'm like, I didn't get it because I didn't get an email.
Oh, shit.
I didn't get a Google alert telling me that I was like on it, whatever. And then I went onto the leadership one and I was just scrolling through it. And then at number 29...
Look, that's a long scroll.
It was a super... Dude, by the time you get to 20, I was like, oh, this is no ways. You get like, you're excited, less excited, less excited. Like now despondent.
Sad.
Like, yeah.
crying.
And then, boom, there I was. So yeah, super, super stoked.
That's so funny. I was sitting by the pool and I was thinking, when are they going to release the numbers, you know? And I put it into ChatGPT and it said early February. I was like, well, this is early February. So I went onto the website and they were launched. So I think I tapped into it as soon as it got launched. So yeah, very good. Look, I'm very grateful to be number four. I saw Kurt Lennard, you know, that futurist, that old guy from Switzerland. He posted something on LinkedIn. This is such rubbish. This is the worst list ever. How could I be 28? And I just put a laughing emoji. I was like, I would also say the same thing if I was at the end. In fact, I wouldn't say anything. I would just pretend like it wasn't happening. It must be horrible to not be on the list when you think you're so amazing at it. And,
shame.
And for him to feel sad about it and feel like a victim and then post about it, I was like, no, that's the wrong move. The move is to ignore it and to like not be part of it, not bitch and moan when you're not. Because the minute he's in the top 10, guess what he's going to be doing? Hey, guys, guess what? I'm on the Global Gurus. So look, I mean, I think truthfully, it means absolutely nothing except to our egos and maybe some people when you're being introduced into the world. But for you, bro, I mean, part of your bio now when you go on stage is like he's a top 30 leader, leadership speaker in the world. Bro,
for sure.
That's a huge accomplishment. You know what I mean?
Dude, so it only took 10 years, three books, four contributed books, three leadership manuals, 11,000 minutes of podcast recording. I'm stoked.
And the co-host that was on that list to put you on the list and then put you there and then for you to email them and then to say I'm a co-host. The John said, don't miss those things out, Eric. Come on, Eric.
I knew you would add it in.
I was waiting for your graciousness, but it didn't arrive. So I thought, well, now I've got to jump in. You know what I mean? You know, if the compliments aren't coming my way, I'm just going to say them myself. Congratulations.
Great. Yeah. And an amazing for us to be hosting this podcast together and like being on the list together. I don't think there's any other podcast in the world that has that. So,
justice. I know you've just made us a new
power.
We should
make
that a prize. We are number one in the Global Gurus co-hosting a podcast together. We should make them start a new category for podcast co-hosts. We're number one.
And we're the only one.
Yeah, exactly. Where'd you come? I came first. How many people in the race? One. Okay, well done.
One.
Yeah, well done. Juan. I'm Juan.
All right, let's talk, let's talk content. What do you have for us?
So, look, I have this amazing, amazing essay that was written that I wanted to read for everybody because I just thought it was such a clever essay. I did send it to you and I know you enjoyed it as well. So I'm going to read the essay and then we're going to talk about it. And the whole essay is about a perspective shift. And the perspective shift, and look, you and I are excellent at this perspective shifting thing. But when I was reading this one, I was like, oh my God, I had not seen the world through the eyes of this person. So it's not a very long essay. So here it goes. You might be surprised to read this, but shedding some light on it, this is what he wrote. And this is about the guy who wrote this essay that was called Thieves. Thieves are also an important part of a nation's economy. They play a significant role in providing employment and contributing to the nation's development. Safes, locks, lockers, cupboards, etc. are made only because of thieves. Many factories and workshops involved in making these items provide employment thanks to this profession. Even in homes, masons and workers get work installing latches, locks, grills on windows and doors. Then to protect houses, shops, schools, colleges, offices and factories, security guards and watchmen are all essential. Companies that manufacture CCTV cameras, metal detectors and security systems all generate jobs. Because of thieves, police officers, court staff, judges, lawyers and others are all employed. Purchases of barricades, weapons, bullets, batons, uniforms, vehicles, and motorcycles for the police help boost the economy. Thanks to thieves, jails, jailers, and prison staff, all have jobs. When items like mobiles, laptops, cars, motorcycles, electrical appliances, purses, or lipstick are stolen, people have to buy them again, which boosts business. Famous and notorious thieves often enter politics, even where even bigger thefts are take place. Much could be said, but overall, the contribution of thieves to a nation's economy is noteworthy. The teacher gave him 100% for the essay. And I thought it was such a brilliant take on this concept that we become so frustrated with things in our lives and people and the roles they play, but the impact that they have in the economy indirectly is just, I mean, it's wow. How many professions did he even say? How many factories do we have out there? Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, the way thieves add value to the world. And I was thinking, like, the relation would be weeds, like weeds in a garden. Like, you definitely need weeds. I know that if a farmland has been over-farmed and the soil has been over-farmed, for the first 2 to 3 years, you'll only have weeds in the soil. And people then become, no, we don't need weeds. But my mom taught me that the weeds actually re-energize the soil. They add into the soil what it needs to balance it out again, and then you can start growing a crop again. So for the first year or 2 or 3 years of a soil that's been broken down, the weeds have to be there. They're part of the master program. And it's funny, when you think about thieves, they're part of the master program in a way, you know, to make the whole machine move. And so you have to have the dodgy people and the clean people, and together they make this world of duality. But it's good to shine a light on this perspective shift. What perspective shifts do you think are out there that are similar to this, that you've always seen as negative, that all of a sudden seem positive? Do you have any?
I'm trying to think as we go through it. And I've definitely had that experience where you look at something and you go like, oh, this is like, it's really painful or it's really frustrating. But when you take a longer view or perhaps a different perspective, you start seeing the value in it. I guess almost any sort of frustration that you have in your life at that point in time is just a frustration. But over a longer period of time with perspective, you start seeing, oh, out of that came many good things. So, yeah, I mean, I can think of, I mean, anyone who hits rock bottom at some point in time, like at that moment in time, they hate it. Much later in life, they might credit that moment with being the catalyst for changing their lives. So I guess that would be one. But like, even though it's not top of mind for me right now, I almost feel like it's just a principle of life, that it's very easy to look at things that we consider to be negative and not see the growth or the promise that lies within that, that can come from it.
My mom and I speak quite a lot. You know, my stepdad passed away, so I speak to my mom almost daily. And I'm very involved in the farm now and the dogs and everything that's going on the farm. And Peggy just had an operation, and so she's getting picked up today, so we're so happy. But we have this term my mom and I continuously bring up with each other, and it's a term that's called radiant acquiescence. And what it means is, obviously, acquiescence comes from water, aqua. And like Bruce Lee says, be like water, my friend, be like water. And it's this flow that you have towards life. And radiant acquiescence is not just being flowing with life, but radiantly accepting everything that comes into your life. And the funny thing is the more accepting you are of it, the quicker it disappears. The more you get stuck in the irritation of why it's there, why is this happening? This is terrible. I'm such a victim to the scenario. Then reality keeps replaying that tape for you. So you keep re-experiencing that thing. And I know that you and I have had issues that we haven't spoken about on the pod, but it's often the need for us to change timelines and to not be triggered by those aspects of our lives so that we can move and shift past them. And so this is a great essay for us to think about thieves and how amazing they are actually for our society. I mean, ultimately, it would be amazing not to have any thieves, but then all those industries wouldn't be alive. But then there would be other, I suppose, repercussions from that. I mean, I don't know what that would look like. I mean, sad that we don't even know what that would look like. But either way, perspective is a beautiful thing.
I guess, like, you know, it's easy to look at this essay through two different views. One is just the judgment of, oh, like, it's a good or a bad thing. Sure, like, right. We're not saying that having thieves is a good thing. We're saying that you can have this practice of a different perspective that might give you a different way of looking at the same thing. And yes, like if there were no thieves, and all that money that's gone into burglar bars and jailers and prisons could have been used to uplift society in different ways.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
but there's also a different perspective here that can be added. And, you know, the more I think about it, dude, at this moment in time, this is something we really need to be practicing is, like, how are you finding ways to shift your perspective? How are you actively finding ways to shift your perspective? Because I was speaking to you about power moves, but earlier this morning, there's two challenges that people have in terms of making power moves in their lives. The one is a challenge of courage. So you know what you need to do, but you don't do it because
Why don't you explain what a power move is first? Let's just explain what a power move is first before you go.
So just very quickly. So a power move for me is just when you do something new, you're working towards a specific goal, and one of the ways you might get towards that goal is that you do the same things over and over and over. You accumulate habits and routines and rituals. And that's the typical way we've been told we achieve success, is that you accrete, you accumulate. But a power move is saying you can't just focus on the 1% better. Sometimes you need to do something that's a bit bigger than that, something that has new energy, a new force behind it. And it might be something that's very new and outside of your comfort zone, but still moving towards that goal that you are trying to achieve.
Isn't it always out of your comfort zone?
It's always out of your comfort zone.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Did I say it sometimes?
No, it's always out of your comfort zone.
Always.
And so like if you think about like how do you make a power move, there's two challenges you might have. One is a challenge of courage. So you know what to do, you know how to do it, but you don't do it because you have this like internal dialogue that's going on. But the second is that you have a lack of perspective. And this is where you don't actually even know what that power move is supposed to be. And that is so typical because we get so, like our thinking becomes so stuck in a rut that we can't think of divergent perspectives. And so I think this is something that you are very good at. And I think I'm also pretty good at it, is seeking out different perspectives. And the way that we typically do it is by just paying for it, by just hiring people who can give us those perspectives. You're building something like big now for yourself in the personal branding space. And the way that you're doing that is actually by getting, like what you're paying for is a perspective, a different perspective on how to do it. And then the execution that follows from that. But this is something that I think for most people is a big challenge, is how are you finding different perspectives? Because if you are just going through your day consuming a lot of content, you might hear different perspectives. It doesn't mean that you are like really thinking through those different perspectives. And that's the challenge, is find new lenses and look at your life through those new lenses. That is practicing perspective.
Look, I agree with everything you're saying. And it's funny because in my new talk that I put together called The Adaptability Advantage, based on my book that's coming out in July, I try to break down what is emotional intelligence made up of. And I came up with the concept that it's made up of two things, awareness and perspective. Your emotional intelligence is based on how aware you are and what perspective you carry. And so what is awareness? Awareness is based on memories, because your memories determine what you're aware of. If you have trauma, your awareness is linked into the idea of attack, defend, be careful, whatever the case may be. If your trauma is healed, you don't have that awareness. Your responsiveness to those things kind of fade away, right? So awareness is very much based on memories. If awareness gets you to notice what you notice, the meaning of what you notice is based on your perspective. And perspective is based on the state of your brain. In other words, if you're in a high rev brain, in a high beta, the mind of the suffering mind, your perspective is fueled by stress and irritation and frustration and repetition and security and defense. If you're in an alpha brain state or a brain mind of the non-sufferer, immediately your perspective is different. So when we say you need to change your perspective, what I think what we're actually saying is, can you change your state? Because you have different personalities. All of us do. If you're highly stressed, like I always say, don't come near me when I'm hungry or tired, because I'm a child. I'm a petulant child. In fact, I laugh to myself and I'm like, you're being such an idiot. Like, and what I actually do when I'm tired or hungry is I just shut myself off from the world, because I know if I start having too many conversations, I'm going to piss people off. I'm just going to cause mayhem. So I just keep quiet. I actually go quiet, you know? But when I'm rested, well-slept, and come out of a meditation, my perspective is very different. I'm very, very open. I'm engaging. And what do they say? Like, you know, if you go to court and you're going to be sentenced, if you're sentenced, being sentenced just before lunchtime, you're getting a longer sentence. Yeah. Why? Because the stress and the perspective of the judge is different. So you've also got to realize that when we say perspective shift, actually what it really is you changing your state. And when you change your state, automatically your perspective changes with that. And that's why it's so difficult to change your perspective, because we are in such repetition of our awareness and such repetition of who we are and our identities that it's difficult to change perspective. But, you know, when you do psychedelic ceremonies or you do meditation retreats or even you do a walking meditation and you message me afterwards, you're a very different person to the person who went on meditation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the way I break it down.
It almost feels to me, I like that a lot. I think there's, I would actually add a P to that, which is patience. Yeah. It's just like the moment you started talking about it, I felt like that's one I would add to it. It's like awareness, you need to go for perspective, and patience.
Oh, okay. Got it. So I thought you said you want to go for a P.
No.
I'm bad joke.
I would add another P to it.
But won't patience be obvious when you're in an alpha brain state?
No, dude.
I think it's built in.
I hear you. I think it might be built in. So when I speak to a team, for example, about their team operating system, I always say there are some things that are implicit, but there are some things that need to be made explicit. And the problem is, like, if we just assume that it's built in, then like the idea of you giving people a framework, for example, is to make it more explicit. And there might be lots of things that are implicit for you, but is it explicit for someone else or implicit for someone else?
Right.
So
right.
I just think when I listen to the way that you explain it, it almost feels to me, and I mean, I'm just saying, like, it feels to me like that should be a natural part of it.
I think in a team, you might be right. I think individually, I don't need patience when I'm thinking about my life when I'm an alpha. I'm in total trust. Like, my perspective is such a calm place that, you know, when something's not happening, I'm like, okay, it's not happening, you know? If I'm impatient, I'm in high beta. My awareness is stuck. So I think we're both right. I think in the team format, you need to explain it differently. But within myself and in my own head, which is the next thing that I want to talk about, is a great quote from a guy called Neil Strauss. I don't know if you follow him, but Neil Strauss, yeah. I love his quotes. And he's got this one that I saw this morning, which I loved. It said, "You're not what others think of you. You are what you think of you." And I was like, yes, man. Because the truth is that what we do is we project into other people's mouths what we think they think of us. But it's only what we think of ourselves put into somebody else's mouth. So it's indirectly insulting ourselves when we're coming from a low level of awareness and perspective, because we think everybody's our enemy. So we create those stories. And I've had to catch myself from time to time. It's like, you don't know they think that of you, John. Like, you have no idea what they think of you. Mm. They could love you, hate you. They could have a crush on you. You have no idea. So the idea here, again, it goes down to awareness and perspective. When I'm highly stressed, or, you know, it happened the other day. I was tired and I looked at myself in the mirror and I wasn't happy. And I was like, shut up, go to bed. Shut up and go to bed. Like, just go sleep. This is, you're just irritated. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just irritated and go to bed. So that's kind of the thing, you know? So you are not what others think of you. You are what you think of you. And that's a really important thing to take into account.
It's so good. It's so good. Because it is so easy to fall into that trap. I don't know if you've ever seen that meme where like someone is walking around in a mall or in a busy place, and then it shows the internal dialogue of the guy, and it will say like no one here knows that I'm a vegan. Like, have you seen that? Like, so this morning I was like, I was at the coffee shop, and I'm like sitting there, I'm like, no one here knows that I'm a top 30 global guru.
How do you know somebody's part of the top 30 global guru? They tell you. Hello, my name's Eric. I'm the top 30 global guru. Hi, how are you? How are you? What's happening?
I was just thinking about exactly that. You know, like, you people have such a, like, their perspective or their understanding of you is so limited, really, you know, and ultimately the expression that you have of you is what forms, like, in their mind, you know. And so it really starts there, but we are so concerned with their interpretation. Mm. And it actually just doesn't matter. Like, and I don't know, you know, I do think there's something about, like, maybe once you hit 40, like, once they, like, or maybe it's an arbitrary number. I mean, 40 has been a, you know, through many different texts and people who have said that 40 is sort of a defining year in, it that, is, in that way.
No, but it is. It is. It is.
Where you stop caring so much about that perception of other people's minds. And you're like, this is who I am and I'm going to live who I am. And I actually don't care the way that you interpret it.
But it gets better.
And I find that to be very true for me. Well, the thing is, I just don't care. Like I think what I've realized is that I control the perception and that's all I can do. And once I control that perception, whatever you interpret of that, that's up to you. But I'm not going to live my life according to the expectation that you might have of me.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually such an important thing. I was speaking to my friend Dinesh about it and we're talking about friendships and something dawned on me in the conversation with him that I've stopped being friends with certain people because they refuse to see me as the new John. They've still got a story about me from who I used to be and they keep bringing that version of me up. And I'm like, people treat me very differently and you treat me very differently. And I don't want to be that version of me anymore. So I can't be with you because you haven't evolved. And you don't even know you're doing it. It's almost unconscious to you. And I've had to step away from many friendships, as I've said on the pod since the beginning of the year. And it's always, and I've now been able to articulate it, is that they don't see me in the new version of me. And I just can't be around, you know? And I can't explain it to you. Like, if I have to explain it to you, you don't understand it. You know what I mean? It's not something it's like you can't teach somebody charisma. Like charisma is something you have. Like, I mean, I guess you could understand the equation of charisma because charisma is presence. You got to be present and hyper aware. And when you're present and hyper aware, you have that natural charisma. But when you don't have charisma, how do you teach somebody that, you know? And this is exactly the same thing as people refuse to see me as I've evolved. And, yeah, I feel very vindicated.
Yeah, it's so interesting that you bring that up because yesterday I was making a video about my journey from physio to better man to the stuff that I do today. Yes. And literally my last point was people put you in a box in their heads. Yeah. And for people, it's very difficult to break that box and put you into a new box. And my argument for it was actually to say that, which is interesting in your case because you do this already, which is that on the internet, there's this idea of you have to go ghost and you'll see lots of videos and like YouTube videos about this idea, like go ghost, disappear for 6 months and come back reinvented. Like they won't recognize you, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And my video was actually about the total opposite. My video was saying, don't go ghost, like flood your new narrative into the world. Like just flood that, like show people who you are, show them who you are as you're evolving. And because that brings them along on the journey. So maybe that helps them to reconfigure that box.
Yeah,
but then it's interesting because in your case, you've done that very well. I think you've always brought people along on the journey. And so maybe in that case, it just shows you that certain people, no matter what you do, like no matter how, to what extent you flood them with this new narrative, they won't buy into it because maybe they got something from the old you that they need and therefore they hold on to that version of you instead of releasing that into the new.
I made a post about the fact that line that says, never forget where you come from. And my post was, absolutely forget where you come from as quickly as possible because the old version of you that where you come from is holding you stuck. And it was actually based on your and my discussion around our income. And, you know, we keep confirming back to what we used to earn and we're like, oh my God, we're doing so well. Yeah. But who the hell said that, like that's how passionate I am about it. Who the F flippin' F said that our benchmark of income was correct? It wasn't correct.
Yeah.
Like now that I'm living in Dubai, I feel like I've wasted half my life because people are so wealthy and move around in such different circles. So yes, absolutely forget where you come from. Like I don't want to be that version of myself anymore. I don't want anybody around me to think I'm that version of myself. And if you do think I'm that version of myself, then I don't want to be around you either. So that's really important. And this will be my last point for today because this is also something I wanted to actually read. Not read, but something I've been contemplating and reading a lot of that showing up more and more on my timelines is aging. Aging is based on repetition. when you stop repeating ideas and thought processes, you actually create a more adaptable brain. And in that process of being adaptable brain, aging changes. And so it's the repetition and the depth of the repetition that actually makes you go old. Because it's almost like muscles that you don't use, and you've stopped using all the other parts of your brain, and you're only now focused on one part of your brain. And that brain just gets tired of that constant repetition. And the post that I've been reading was talking about how important travel is, because when you travel, you're never in a comfortable place. You're consistently seeking, checking, where am I, where it's going to be good, and it's constantly an adventure, which means that your brain is constantly firing.
Does that count for flying business class and five-star hotels?
I'm traveling, bro. What part of that is not traveling, brother?
I'm just asking. The challenge of they serve this caviar instead of the normal caviar.
No. What I'm saying is you don't have to go through pain. I just sit on those flights all in the economy, I'd die. I'm such a prima donna. I would die. What's the worst day of your life, John, when I had to fly economy? It was terrible. Anyway, I'm kidding. Look, it's a dream come true, you know? Have I told you about what happened with the shaman? Like 7-8 years ago, I was in an ayahuasca ceremony, and I love him so much, Jacques. We did many ayahuascas with him and got to know him really, really well, became a very good friend, and an amazing, amazing man. And after this, it was a 6-day ayahuasca ceremony. I mean, it was a serious little thing. Eh? And at the end of it, he did these blessings on us, and he would blow mapacho smoke on you and spray you with the aqua de Florida. It was a whole ceremony. And so what he did was, before he did it in the group, and he would sit with each one of us, and we would tell him what we wanted and what our intentions and goals were for life, you know? And then what he would do is he'd bless all of us and then do the ceremony in front of everybody, you know? So he would go in the circle, and then he would like put his hand over like whoever, Sarah, we want to bless you and thank the gods. And then I went through the whole thing, and Sarah to have a good family life and to heal her sickness and, you know, to build a better career, blah, blah, blah. So he goes through, and then he comes to me. We would like to bless John to fly business class. So I said to him, and he laughs while he says it, and everybody else laughed as well. And one of my friends, Sean, was there. And Sean looks at me, he's like, what? I'm like, it's true, bro. I want to fly business class. I don't know what I'm going to say. And look at me now. Those blessings worked. It worked. Jacques, bless you, brother, for helping me fly business class. So the whole point of that point was travel helps you stay younger.
I can see it.
Even now, you know, I was walking around Ubud and just, you know, checking things out and just enjoying the place, seeing new people. And it's just constantly changing. And I do think I'm actually getting younger. You know, I sometimes look at pictures of myself from 10 years ago. I think I look younger today than I did 10 years ago. And
younger, but more mature.
No, of course more mature. But just I can see it in my eyes. You know, I look at some photos of myself, and I think I had more stress behind my eyes. And now I can see more clarity in my eyes, you know. And I think from the meditation practice and also eating what my body wanted. You know, I don't think I knew what my body really needed back then. Now I'm very clear at what my body needs. And also the travel, you know. So that combination allows the
awareness and
perspective to evolve. Well, money's part of, as a result of becoming clearer as who you are. You know, I think.
Well,
no.
I mean, there's this thing that says, you know, you're not ugly, you're just poor.
No, that's what they say. After 40, there's no such thing as short or tall. They're just poor or rich. I saw something the other day. It said, how tall are you? Standing on my wallet or off my wallet? I don't know. Which one do you want to know? So, yeah, after 40, there's no such thing as good looking or ugly. It's just rich or not rich. What a terrible life we live in, eh? This is the reality that we live. The Instagram reality. Yeah, that's so funny. Anyway, that is my addition to the podcast.
That's been good.
Yeah, pleasure.
Yeah, that's been good.
Awareness, perspective, and staying younger, and congratulating you on your entry into international leadership stardom.
Yeah, thank you.
I remember you were always telling me about a guy called the Teams guy. What's his name? Formosi. No, not Formosi. He's got like a FZ in his name. A few years ago, you're always telling me about this guy.
Is that not Keith Ferrazzi?
Yeah, Ferrazzi. That's it.
Yeah.
And look, bro, he's on that list, and you're now on that list as well. So it's just a matter of climbing up that list and
keep going.
I'm sure your new book coming up, your new book coming out, and what you should do is launch it with Global Gurus, like promote it through them, which is what I'm going to do with my book, and it just helps your ranking go up, you know.
So accumulate and power moves. Accumulate and power moves. That's power moves. Just very keep good. Doing very that. Good. Just keep doing that.
Very good. Yeah. Exactly. Cool.
Thanks, dude. That was really fun. It was really good. Thank you for sharing your ideas and perspectives with us. And enjoy Bali. And we'll chat again next week. You can wrap us up.
I'll do my best to enjoy Bali. Let me just show you the pool that's right next to me here. There it is. If you're looking, there's the pool. I'll be in that pool in 33 seconds after this pod is finished. And the shirt will be off as well. I'm not wearing pants, so that's all okay. Just kidding. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining us. Wonderful to have you on the pod again. You know, it's so funny. I get messages from people from all over the world, from Norway to Mexico to Iceland to Springs to Edenvale to Sandton to Dubai, to just messaging from all parts of the world to say they're listening to the pod and they enjoy it. We are so deeply grateful for you guys joining us. You know, it's just two mates having a great and grand time talking a bit of shit and just trying to share what we've learned through the week. And wonderful to have you all with us on this ride. And we look forward to seeing you and listening and having you listen to us next week. And until then, be expansive.